Welcome to the But You're Wrong podcast. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Padilla.
Make sure you check us out every Wednesday, every Saturday on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Be sure to check out But You're Wrong Facebook page, facebook.com/ButYou'reWrong. Please give us a like on there and follow us on Twitter at BYW Podcast.
And on YouTube at youtube.com/BYW Podcast. If you like Keith, make sure you check him out on the Amazon Kindle Marketplace. We now join the But You're Wrong podcast, already in progress. What was I going to say? I felt like I had some sort of a tidbit for you.
Ooh, a tidbit. Like a Timbit? You went to Tim Hortons? Got me some Timbits?
What's a Timbit?
Yeah, I think that's just like a munchkin.
Oh, that makes sense. No, but I did have munchkins today.
No.
I've never been to a Tim Hortons. I wanted to go to one, but I didn't. I didn't get to while I was in Montreal.
Maybe we'll have to do that sometime. We'll have to go up to Canada just to go to a Tim Hortons.
Yeah, why not? I got nothing going on.
Now going over to Canada, we can I can use my little what's it called? Passport card. I got one of those when I renewed my passport.
Oh, you got the card thing?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. A little more convenient.
It is. It only works for land crossings. So it'll only work when I go to Canada or Mexico. So basically Canada. because I'm not going to Mexico anytime.
Yeah.
Soon.
Yeah, well, I don't know why. I mean, you know, it's very nice from what I hear. And, you know, people are typically very safe
here
in Mexico.
Yeah, here's my problem. I do not want to get kidnapped by the police. That's what I'm concerned about in going to Mexico.
You want to get kidnapped by the police?
Yeah, they're the ones that do a bunch of kidnapping.
Like, really?
The cops are in on it. I think so. At least that's...
Well, I mean, I don't know. You might be right. I mean, there's crooked cops in the United States. I can only imagine that there are crooked cops in Mexico.
I mean, I'm going based off of what a Spanish teacher told me in, like, the seventh grade.
I mean, well, from what I know, it's just insane and lawless, and people just get decapitated and, you know, for not conforming to the drug cartel's wishes, who basically run all the towns. It sounds pretty terrible. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, who am I to judge other people?
I mean, you're you, and you're going to judge them no matter what.
That's true. Especially a place as gross as Mexico.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they... Well...
You can't even defend it.
You know what, yeah. Here's the thing. Like I said, cops, kidnapping. Okay, October 8th. 2013, Mexico arrests 13 federal police on kidnapping charges.
Wow.
It's a dangerous system out there, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's not safe. I honestly wouldn't even... I probably wouldn't even go to where they have those, like, resorts, like Cancun and stuff. Like, all-inclusive resorts.
Really? You wouldn't go there? I'd go there.
Maybe. I'd consider it. You know what? Here's the thing. If someone goes, all right, well, you know, you want a trip, or, you know, it's going to be cheap as dirt, or I might go, but there's no way I'm seeking it out. There's no way I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go to fucking Cancun or something. Like, there's other all-inclusive resorts that I can go to.
Well, here's what concerns me. Okay, yes, the resorts are supposed to be the better place to go.
Right.
But how do you get there?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like the plane lands in the resort.
So, yeah, so I'm assuming, like, it's still...
You know what wouldn't be bad is if you did one of the ones, like... I don't know if they do this with Mexico, but, like, we get on the cruise and you go to, like, the cruises resort. Like, I know they do that in the Dominican, where you hop on the boat in Miami, you go to the Dominican, but you go to, like, a part of the island that's kind of far away from, you know...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
...the rest of them. And, like, it's just an enclosed area with, like, guards and stuff. And you just stay in there. So, like, that would probably be all right. But, yeah, I don't know. Doesn't really... I don't know. Yeah, I can't see myself spending too much time in Mexico. Maybe a quick donkey show in Tijuana or something.
Even that.
No donkey show for you?
I feel like, okay, the thing is, we're in the age where I could just Google that and...
That's true. You could just watch it online.
I'll just Google it and then be done with it.
I don't know. I've heard that there's nothing like really just being there when it happens. I've never heard that. I just made that up.
Oh, okay. You just... Okay.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, I'm just talking. But, I mean, I'm sure they're wild.
I mean, yeah, they gotta be...
Now, okay, what about if it was like the show in Godfather 2 with Superman, right? And it's just some guy with an abnormally enormous dick. Would you watch the show of him having sex with the woman that they bring out?
Wait, what?
In Godfather 2, right? The Superman?
What do you mean the Superman?
They call him Superman. That's why they call him Superman, because he's got a giant penis when they're in Havana.
Why am I not remembering this right now?
What do you? They're in Havana for New Year's Eve, and Fredo, Michael, Johnny Ola, Pat, Senator Geary, and a couple other dudes, Rocco maybe, they all go to the sex show, and... The guys, they call him Superman, but that's when Fredo lets slip that's where Johnny Ola took him there, even though he claims to have never met him.
They don't actually show it, though. They just talk about it, right?
Oh, well, they go to the show. You don't see the dick.
But do you see them go to the show?
Yeah.
They go to
the show, and then they bring the girl out, and they, like, tie her up, and then... The guy walks out in a robe, and they show him go to drop the robe, and it cuts away, and they're all like, holy shit, look at that thing. And that, yeah, and, yeah.
I'm gonna be honest,
You don't remember this at all?
I don't remember this at all.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why.
Because, like, Pat Geary's like, oh, Fredo, how did you know about this? And he's like, oh, Johnny Ola, he knows all these places, blah, 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 blah. And that's when Michael realizes he's the traitor. Well,
the thing is, I kind of remember that part, but I don't remember the part where they tie up the girl.
Well, yeah, they like have her like tied up, like two other girls tie her up so that she could get fucked by the guy that they call Superman. No,
no. Apparently, I don't remember this right now.
Well, it's true.
I believe you. I totally believe you, but for some reason...
That would be a real crazy thing for me to have just made up.
You did it with such detail. It'd be amazing if you were just like, I just made it up.
But no, it's true. But yeah. What about that kind of a show?
Would I go to that kind of show?
As opposed to a donkey show.
I'd probably be more inclined to do that than a donkey show.
Yeah.
But
That makes sense.
I don't.
You're not really.
Either one, I'm just like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, hang on. How much does this thing cost? Like, how much do I have to pay for either one of these shows?
Okay, so, but not much, because you're using American money, so you're living like a king over there.
You don't, hang on, wherever it is. Just tell me how much it is.
$10.
$10?
I'd go for $10.
I'd go for $10, yeah.
Yeah. Once you start getting up to like the $25, $30 range, I'd be like, eh.
You know, I would go for $10. But I would probably stand in the back. Or like middle. Maybe like an aisle seat.
An aisle seat?
Yeah.
Why? So you can run out?
So at the point where I'm just like, you know what? I've had my fill. I can just...
I would probably go up to $20, especially, you know, if I was drinking, felt a little free with my money, you know.
Wait, $20 for which one?
The second one there, the regular section. Yeah. I would consider it. $10, I definitely would. $20, I'd be like, eh.
Here's the thing.
If everyone else is going.
Okay, if everyone else is going, then I would.
Yeah.
But $20, if it's just like, let's say it's just you and me, I'd be like, there's better ways to spend $20. Because you got to figure, you go in there, it's $20 to get in. But then beers are probably like $8.
It's like buying a beer at a baseball game.
Yeah, like I'm not going to. And okay, my other concern is, what act opens for that act?
Oh, you're thinking there's an opener?
Yeah. So it's either like some shittier sex show, or it's like a really bad stand-up comedian.
I was gonna say maybe there's like midgets doing like juggling or something, some sort of weird perverse kind of midget show.
No, it's okay. It might be midget sex.
Oh yeah,
or little person sex, whatever the correct term is.
Yeah, we're very PC on the show.
I'm gonna say it's either like little person sex or like handicap sex. Like something like that, or it's like just a really bad stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
But and he's telling like really bad jokes. He's like, hey, did you ever hear the one about the Polak and the priest? And you're just like, why? First of all, why are you in Mexico?
Is this guy doing it in English?
And he's like, well, you see, I can't go back to America. Well, why not? There's some videotape of me having sex with the midgets, and I don't want to deal with it.
Well, yeah.
That doesn't seem so bad. And he's like, the midget dies at the end.
Oof.
Well, I mean, did you have anything to do with it? No, I mean, she was just very old. It's just me and a very old midget.
An old midget.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy the show.
Yeah. Can I get back to my act now? So anyway, Polak and the priest.
Yeah, all right, maybe a bad comedian. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I would consider going. The donkey show, if it was like a dollar, I might consider it.
For the donkey show?
Yeah. And everyone else was going. Like, if there was like 10 dudes and it was like $1 to get in and everyone was going, I'd be like, ugh. All right, I guess.
I would go up to 5. I'd go up to 5 if everybody was going.
Yeah. All right, maybe if everyone was going, I'd go up to 5 too. I can't imagine spending more money than that on something like that.
And if it was ladies' night.
And if it was ladies' night?
Yep. Has to be ladies' night.
What does that make a difference for you?
I mean, I just... Because I would be curious about the quality of women that are going to ladies' night at a club where there is a donkey show.
Okay, so you are... you're in it for the people watching as far as that goes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It would be interesting. Because I think typically you're probably just getting all dudes. It's probably a sausage fest.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You might have a couple women working there. It's like when there's women like just serving drinks at a strip club. And it's kind of weird because you're like, you're not a stripper, but you still work here. Like, isn't this kind of weird for you?
Oh, you're talking to her and saying, isn't this weird for you? Because I'm like,
yeah,
I'm not
talking to you. No.
Isn't this weird for you? There's a woman here serving us drinks, but she's not taking her clothes off. Isn't that weird for you? No, it's actually, I mean, it's just like I'm at any other bar. Oh. Because it's kind of weird for me. I mean, normally when women serve me drinks, I'm used to them taking their clothes off.
Yeah. There was a coffee shop in Maine that was topless. Do you remember this?
I remember. I think we learned about it from the same place.
From
the same person.
Oh, okay. I'm going to see. I think it burned down or something.
Yeah, but then I thought he said that it opened up again. But it wasn't a coffee shop. Wasn't it just like a donut shop? But like they also, I don't think it was like a Starbucks where you could sit down, right?
Or what? You know what? I'm going to look it up right now. Let's see.
Oh my God.
Cosmo, I need you to. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
That was just really loud snoring.
He wasn't even really that close to my my phone here either.
That was like my dad snoring.
Let's see. Oh, okay. Here we go. Maine's famous topless coffee shop finally sees justice. Oh, boy. And yes, I'm looking at a picture in here. There is regular, like, booths and stuff to sit down.
Oh, there is. Okay. Hang on. What did you search to find this? Or is there the name of it in there?
Topless coffee shop is what I searched. The name of it is the Grand View Topless Coffee Shop. Wow, very Grand View. Let's see. This is in the long tradition of destination stories here at that's the website. At Jaunted, we've never abandoned covering the dramatic history of the Grand View Topless Coffee Shop. Blah, blah, blah. $3 coffee, $2 donuts, and free gazing at the waitress's gazongas. They use the term gazongas. Wow.
Well, of course. I mean, what else are they going to use?
As expected, the joint was controversial from the start, even after a mini-documentary went up profiling the place and its customers. Then it burnt to the ground, suspiciously. CBS News shares that an arsonist has finally been convicted, and he wasn't doing it for morality reasons at all. He was angry at his ex-girlfriend, an employee at the Grand View, who had left him to shack up with the coffee shop's owner, Raymond Bellavance. He is now headed to jail as the Grand View gets on with business. Following the fire, the Grand View was temporarily reopened in a tent. Finally, it moved to a more permanent trailer on the property, and local regulars as well as road trippers can visit the girls and their goodies while grabbing a cup of Java. Uh-huh.
So it's not there now, right?
This was written in 2012. So I'm not sure.
Cause I'm thinking we should go.
You think we should go? I mean, I would go if it's still there. I would be more likely to go to the topless coffee shop than to the donkey show.
Or the Superman show. I completely agree.
Let's see.
Yelp says it's closed.
Really? I'm now seeing another article where it says it was a topless coffee shop.
Oh, boy.
I think we may have missed it, Keith.
Hang on. I'm looking, let's see. Nope, that doesn't work. If anything's to be, figured based on this one picture, that I found on BuzzFeed, I'm thinking, probably not worth it.
No, because I just saw a picture too, and they covered up the nipples. But I'll tell you, I wasn't really doing it for me. I just Google image searched it, and
nothing.
Yeah, they don't look that impressive.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely in Maine.
What's that supposed to mean, huh? What are you saying?
You know, probably really good looking people probably leave Maine.
You think so?
Well, you know.
You're probably right.
They probably, you know, they head out to the big city or something.
I wonder how many people actually leave Maine this day and age. I mean, I would imagine that it's several.
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 I would think that you're right. Several people probably do. I don't know. To be honest, like when I meet people around here, like you find everyone from like all the New England states. Like, I know so many people from Connecticut and Vermont and Maine and New Hampshire because I think they're just like – I mean, and obviously a lot of them stay, but a lot of them are also just like, I need to go like where there's jobs and shit to do.
Yeah.
So and obviously the closest place to go would be here, or I mean, I guess some of them might go to New York from Connecticut, but I don't know. I'm sure. I wonder how many people move to Maine. That might be the better question.
I think that's a better question because I think the thing is, there's in this day and age, a lot of people, more so than before, are moving away from the areas that they grew up in,
mm-hmm.
just because it's easier and just there's more of a culture of moving.
It's also easier to stay in touch too.
Well, yeah, like they don't have to worry about being that far from their family because there's ways around that.
Right.
Hang on. Sorry, I'm just replying here. There's ways around that, but then there's like the idea of moving is becoming, I think, a little bit more common. So more people are accepting of it, whereas before they were just like, "What? Why would you leave the area that you're in?" Like, but also because of the economy in smaller areas, there's not as many opportunities as there was before. But there's more opportunity in larger areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, with like the internet and everything, everybody's way more connected than they were before.
Yeah.
Or maybe families are just getting more and more annoying.
Well, that's true too. But people also, I don't know. People are more comfortable with being cut off too.
That's true.
Now, people are, you know.
Actually, I bet there's a few people that moved to Maine looking for the isolation.
I was thinking that too. Maybe they're sick of the city.
Yeah. Maybe they heard about the North Pond Hermit and said, I want to do what he did, and they're moving out to Maine.
That's true. Maybe they just want to live like a hobo.
Maybe.
Steal shit. From, you know, they want to steal sweatpants from little kids and stuff. Or maybe not little kids, but, you know, like 16-year-olds.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like teenagers or young people.
Yeah.
Young people. Young adults. Horny young adults.
So yeah, very.
Probably steals, like, sweatpants with, like, cum stains on it.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And he's like, oh, I gotta wash this in the river, but it's fucking winter, so I gotta wait, so I gotta wear these cum stained sweatpants for months.
He kinda liked it, though.
Probably did.
Now, now, what was I gonna say?
I don't know, but I have a place to go from
now
this.
You
I got
go
a place
then.
To go. Because this is something that I wanted to talk about. And now, see, I looped everything around, made it all connect so that we could talk about somebody who I think is far superior to the North Pond Hermit.
Superior?
Yeah.
Is it the guy that hasn't bathed in 40 years?
No.
Okay, I saw him.
This man has sadly passed. He passed earlier this week.
Okay.
His name was Hiro Onoda. He was Japanese. He was the last Japanese imperial soldier to emerge from hiding in a jungle in the Philippines and surrender 29 years after the end of World War II.
Oh, I heard about this guy. I really didn't read the story, though. But I did hear about it.
I read a little bit of the story, but I thought we should pull up his Wikipedia page to find out more, because this article does not do justice to it. Does not explain anything that I want to know, obviously, because the questions that I have are never the ones that they answer.
No, they're not.
He died on Thursday. He was 91. Let's skip ahead here. Hiro was an intelligence officer who came out of hiding, erect but emaciated, in fatigues patched many times over, on Lubang Island in the Philippines in March 1974 on his 52nd birthday.
Holy shit.
He surrendered only when his former commander flew there to reverse his 1945 orders to stay behind and spy on American troops. So his commander, so this guy, obviously, he was probably, there's no way that he was like the number one soldier in the group, but they were like, shit, we should probably get a guy to like stay here and spy on the American troops and see, but we gotta pull everybody else off this island. Who do you think we should get? I was gonna say Hiro. You were gonna say Hiro? Okay, we'll have Hiro. Hiro. All right. Hiro. We got a job for you. Very important.
No one's gonna miss him.
Could you do us a favor? For the Empire, of course. You know, Emperor, gotta love him. Could you do this for him? He wants you. Called me up directly. Actually, he FaceTimed me, which never mind. That's technology that's not invented yet. But he called me up, said, can you get your number one soldier to stay on the island and spy on the American troops while everybody else leaves? Thanks. And then he hung up, you know, because Emperor's got things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants you to do it. So do you mind hanging out for a little while? And, I mean, once the Empire rises again, we'll come back and get you.
We'll call on you.
Yeah, we'll call you. You don't call us. We'll call you, and we'll take care of it for you. And then he actually survived for 29 years? 29.
Well, 29
let's,
years. Yeah.
Let's round up to 30. We'll just give him 30. Stayed on there for 30 years. And then that commander gets a call, and he's like, hello? We just got word that there is still one of your soldiers on an island somewhere. and he won't come out. So can you do something about this? He's like, I'm retired. I'm retired. My wife is 40 years younger than I am. Do you know what that means? That means that I got a lot of shit to stare at and put my hands on and grope. And it's a busy day for me. You want me to go where?
He was like, my wife is 40 years younger than me. And she's 40. Because that would mean he was really old.
I get it, but it's such a Rodney Dangerfield joke that it caught me off guard.
It really
hey, my
is.
My wife is 40 years younger than me, and she's 40.
Actually, that would be pretty good. Like a stand-up, be like, you know, maybe not 40, but be like, oh yeah, you know, I married a woman who's 30 years younger than me. Too bad I'm 70. I don't know.
Too bad I'm dead.
Yeah, that all right. That was a real Rodney Dangerfield joke.
I mean, I'm not saying it was terrible. I'm just saying it was a real Rodney Dangerfield joke that caught me off guard. Remember when he was in Ladybugs? That was weird.
Remember when we bought Rappin' Rodney?
Oh yeah. Oh my god. I had briefly forgot about that, but
still better than Joe Piscopo.
Oh my god, Joe Piscopo was so bad.
But anyways, that's neither here nor there.
You really just brought the energy of the show way down.
I'm sorry. I am very sorry.
Wait a minute. Okay, I just did a quick search for Rodney Dangerfield. I don't know why.
He's dead.
Just in case. No, I know that. But there's a Rodney Dangerfield game called No Respect.
A game? Like as in like a board game?
Yeah, Rodney Dangerfield board game. Is this a real thing?
I don't know. I've never heard of that. I feel like that if it was real, it'd be something like my parents would have had.
Okay, boardgamegeek.com. It was published in 1985. Number of players 2 to 4. Playing time 30 minutes. From the box, here's just the game for you, Dangerfield fans. A combination of strategy, suspense, and total frustration to challenge even the most self-respecting player.
Oh, I see what they did.
Stay alive by playing number tiles on your own columns or on your opponents to stop them. If you're the first to reach the top or the last to play a number, you win, and everybody else is a loser. The odds can quickly stack up against you in this fast-paced game of ups and downs. You could be one number away from a win, lose a column, and suddenly find yourself behind. So plan each move carefully.
Why is this description so long?
Keep a sharp eye on your opponents, and don't count on winning till you've won. It's a real thing.
Game sounds awful, first off.
I love how there's images of the box, too. Oh my god, this is amazing! I guess this is the back. And there's like a family playing. Or no, it's not a family. But it's gotta be like a... Like, it was like a double date night. And they were just like, hey, double date night, let's play No Respect. And there's a guy sitting on the couch pulling on his tie.
What, just like Dangerfield?
Yep.
Well, I'm looking at Google image search here. I don't know. I'm just getting a lot of pictures of the box itself with him yanking on his tie.
Just do a Google search and you find it on boardgamegeek.com.
Boardgamegeek.com.
Oh my god, this is terrible. In order to get a high quality image, I have to register for this fucking website.
Oh, I see him. Oh yeah, look at him. He's doing the thing. Oh my god, these people, look at them. Oh, and the guy on the left, he's doing like the kind of Dangerfield, like the eye roll.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And the women are just like, ugh. Well, no, actually, the kind of gross looking woman on the left, she's really into it. She thinks her husband is a riot.
She's the like, oh my god, he's so funny.
The other woman doesn't look like she wants to be there.
No, definitely not. Wait, which one?
The one on the right.
Oh yeah, the one on the right definitely doesn't want to be there. She's way too good-looking to be in that group.
Yeah, that's true, too. The board itself almost looks like...
shit?
It looks dumb, yeah. I don't know. It kind of looks like... like a Trivial Pursuit where it's got the four sides like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure... Yeah, it's kind of set up like that. It looks so... no respect... man.
What a, I don't even know.
Bad idea?
Oh, yeah, just a bad idea. Anyway.
Does it even have a Wikipedia page?
It doesn't.
Yeah, not surprised. Zero hosses.
Zero hosses. All right, let's go back to Hero. So yeah, so the commander got a call and was like, hey, can you come back? Because this guy won't fucking leave. He's on our lawn. Like, the guy, they were developing around him. And then finally, like, they were like, hey, can you come? Like, we're trying to knock down this tree, and this guy is just standing right in front of it.
It's like there's a wild animal out there. And they're like, yeah, there's, you know, there's bears around here, but trying to avoid them.
Oh, I missed this part. Hero and another World War II holdout, Sergeant...
Slaughter.
So Hishi Yokio, who emerged from the jungle in 1972, received massive hero's welcomes upon return. So there was another guy.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to pull up his Wikipedia page, see if he has one. Oh, yep, he does. Of course he does.
Now, he was actually a sergeant.
So do you think... so maybe... I wonder if they were in the same place. No, this guy was in the jungles of Guam.
Oh, okay.
So Japan just left people everywhere.
See, that's nuts, because we own Guam. We being the United States. So that's weird that he was doing this on U.S. territory.
Oh, yeah. Well, when did we start owning Guam?
I think World War II. I think when we took it over, we just took it. We pulled kind of like a Soviet Union type thing, like after World War II, where they were just like, yeah, we rolled through these countries, we own them now.
Yeah, we're just like, well, I suppose, I mean, if there were, you know.
I think that's kind of what we did with Guam. We basically just turned it into a giant airfield, and we're like, that's ours now.
After the war, the Guam Organic Act of 1950 established Guam as an unincorporated, organized territory of the United States. So he spent a long time, 22 years, just hanging out in Guam.
That's weird.
That is really weird. Jesus.
Wow. So wait, did they both come out of hiding in the same year?
No.
Oh, okay. So he was, what, 72?
So here's the thing. This says, his article,
Sergeant?
Sergeant. Thank you. The sergeant's article says that he was among the last three Japanese holdouts to be found after the end of hostilities in 1945.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Among the last three. I cannot believe there was multiple dudes.
Oh my god, there were a bunch of them. Okay. 1945 to 1949, they still were finding them. two machine gunners surrendered on Iwo Jima January 6th
of 1949.
Wow. They found them, they were finding ones in 1950s, 1960s. Two of these guys were on Guam, too, in the 1960s, the two guys that they found in the 60s.
That's nuts.
And then the guy that they found, they were both found in 1960, and then nobody for like 12 years. And then they found the sergeant guy, which here they have him listed as a corporal.
Huh. Maybe he received a promotion during his during his time.
I guess. January 1972.
He actually promoted himself.
So I wonder if they were they? Oh, no, they were. Yeah. Okay, so there were three guys together on Guam.
Okay.
Private Minagawa, Sergeant Ito, who is Minagawa's superior, and then there's the corporal who served under Ito.
Judge Ito?
Yes, Ito. his great grandfather, or maybe just his grandfather. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. So even the sergeant surrendered. Ito surrenders. The private surrenders, but the corporal's like, nope, or sergeant, whatever he is, was just like, no, I'm gonna hang out here, guys. You go ahead. And then he stayed for another 12 years.
Wow. So why didn't he surrender?
Because he was just like, fuck that shit. I'm saying. I don't know. War years and post-war survival. This is for the sergeant. We want to know about the post-war years, though. Let's see. When American forces captured the island in 1944... he went into hiding with 10 other Japanese soldiers. 7 of the original 10 eventually moved away, and only 3 remained. These men separated but visited each other until about 1964.
Wow.
When the other 2 died in a flood. Well, that doesn't make sense with what I just read, though. Unless there were other guys... No, wait a minute.
You mean unless there was more to begin with?
Yeah, I don't... Okay, I don't know. This says, for the sergeant, these men separated but visited each other until about 1964 when the other 2 died in a flood. The last 8 years, he lived alone. He survived by hunting primarily at night. He used native plants to make clothes, bedding, and storage implements, which he carefully hid in his cave.
It sounds like a wonderful time.
On the evening of January 24th, 1972, he was discovered in the jungle by 2 local men checking their shrimp traps along a small river. They had assumed the sergeant was a villager, but he thought his life was in danger and attacked them. They managed to subdue him and carried him out of the jungle with minor bruising. It is with much embarrassment, but I have returned, he said, upon his return to Japan. The remark would become a popular saying in Japanese.
Really?
Yeah. I guess maybe that's just one of those colloquialisms now that they have. Like, if you're running late and you show up, you're like, it is with much embarrassment, but I have returned.
You know what? I can see that happening.
For 28 years, he had hidden in an underground jungle cave, fearing to come out of hiding, even after finding leaflets declaring World War II had ended, believing them to be false Allied propaganda.
Oh, wow.
He was the 3rd to last Japanese soldier to surrender after the war, preceding 2nd Lieutenant Hiro and Private Nakamura.
Private Nakamura.
Okay, so hang on. Let's get to him in a second. Let's go back to this Japanese holdout thing. Or let's go to... See, it says that Ito, which I thought was the other one that was on with Yokoi, whatever his name is, on Guam. But it says, when the last of his companions, Iminagawa, was captured by woodsmen in 1960, he was convinced to surrender on May 23rd, 1960. So maybe there were actually five guys then.
Okay.
Okay, that would make sense. Maybe there were five guys.
Nothing to do with the burger place.
Yeah, nothing to do. Five guys is like, hey, did you listen to this podcast? We got to shut these guys down. They're saying that we're Japanese holdouts on Guam. We can't do this. Or they want to sponsor the show. I'll accept that.
That'd be fine.
Yeah. Even if they just want to pay us in burgers, I'll take that.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah, as long as I can go to my local place and pick them up. They can't ship them to us.
Oh, no. That would be bad.
That would be gross.
But anyways, so we think there might have been five dudes?
I'm thinking there were five guys on Guam.
Okay.
Wow. I'm thinking there were five guys, and then Yokoi was part of 10, and then seven guys moved away. We don't know what happened to them. The last two, they all separated, and then the last two died in a flood. And then this guy came out and was like, hey, I'm good.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, so did they just get accepted back into Japan? Like,
okay, well, let's
thank you for your service.
Let's read about this first guy. This isn't the guy that we started with. Yokoi is a different guy. But let's read about him. Hate to interrupt, but we go on for quite a while longer, so we're going to cut this one into two. Next part is going to be probably as long, maybe a little bit longer, but this seemed like maybe the best place to cut it. We have quite a bit more to talk about in terms of Hiro and all the other Japanese soldiers whose names, as Greg will point out, I cannot pronounce that well. So apologies to them, if any of them or their family or anyone else is listening that's upset that I can't pronounce Japanese names. But whatever, I don't know what you want. I'm just a kid from Jersey. Anyway, yes. So, thank you for listening. We will finish this tale on Wednesday. So, listen then. Hopefully, that'll be up very early Wednesday morning, like first thing. Maybe we'll put up late Tuesday night. So, all you people chomping at the bit can get in. You're like, what happened to Hiro? And then you can find out, like, as soon as you get up. And you'll be late for work. And then you'll get fired. And that'll really suck. And, you know what? Don't look for it first thing in the morning. Because I don't want you to be late for work. Anyway, thank you for listening. And remember, no regrets. And if you're going to a donkey show, get an aisle seat. Or like a, you know, don't necessarily get an aisle seat. Just get one in like the, get one in after the third row. First three rows, splash zone. You don't want that. Something after that. That's a sweet spot. Sweet spot of donkey shows.